Rosé is poured.
Yep. I think we're ready to go.
I believe we are.
All right. Welcome back to Purter, She Wrote Kittens.
Hi, I am Sunshine Lamontri.
And I'm Dana LaCoco.
And we are your co-hosts.
This is episode 10.
That's right. We're into double digits now.
Yes.
That's spectacular.
It really is. Big thanks to everyone who's been listening. And big thanks to everyone who liked us on Facebook recently.
Yeah, we got a whole, like, posse of new people.
We're so excited.
Cat people.
Yes. So thank you guys.
Yeah. And if you haven't yet, rate, review, and subscribe to Purter, She Wrote on iTunes. The more you rate, the more people can find us. It is an awesome yet vicious circle.
Very true. But if we could just spread the cozy cat love around, I really think it could only be more of a good thing.
I mean, the world needs it. Let's be honest.
True.
Well, okay, so episode 10.
Yes.
Super exciting. Mm-hmm. We're doing something different.
We have read quite a few cozies up to this point, and for our 10th episode, we wanted to do something special. So we decided, let's try and write our own cozy mystery.
Right, but we're going to do it Mad Lib style.
Yes.
So we've come up with a first page and a last page of a potential cozy mystery, mm-hmm. and we're going to go through our cozy rubric and pick out all these sort of elements that are super common to cozy cat mysteries, like as a genre, mm-hmm. and pop them into this page that we wrote and see what happens.
Yeah. We have not practiced or done this before, so it's going to be all off the cuff, and we'll see what we come up with.
Yeah, we've got Rosé.
Yep.
We've got our wits.
Yes, we have the love of all things cozy and cats burning like a fire inside of each of our hearts.
Right, so we can't go wrong.
Can't lose. Also, we're going to post the Mad Libs on our Facebook page when we post this episode.
So you can download that and have your own cozy cat mystery Mad Lib party.
Yes. And if you write a cozy cat mystery of your own, we want to hear it. Yep. We want to read it.
Send it back to us.
Yes. So without further ado, let's get started.
So, the cozy rubric. Mm-hmm. We talk about it every episode, but we haven't really gone into it since our first episode.
It's sort of the fundamental ingredients that bake the warm and delicious cozy cat mystery cake.
When it comes out of the oven, the cozy cat mystery needs to have had these ingredients put into it. So the first is a protagonist, right?
Right.
Typically a lady protagonist, a heroine, but she is a cozy heroine, so she's got like a quirky job.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever name, whatever kind of name.
Yes.
Could be anything. What's unusual about her is she usually has some kind of quirky job, something cozy. She works in a cafe. Mm-hmm. Or she's a baker, or, I mean, a journalist is not cozy, but we've seen that a lot.
We also had a couple of heiresses that we've read about.
Yes, being independently wealthy is acceptable.
True. So, Sunshine, our cozy mystery that we're making up right now, what is our main character's name going to be?
Okay, so let's get something slightly exotic, but, like, not too far out of the comfort zone. Like Marissa.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Or I like it. Adelaide.
Ooh, Adelaide.
Adelaide. I'm going to write that down.
Uh-huh. You guys are probably going to hear us writing and touching papers because that's just what the situation is.
Yep.
So Adelaide, we need a last name though.
True. I feel like most cozy last names are somewhat charming and kind of a little cute.
Adelaide Amore.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Is that charming and cute?
It's very charming. I'm a big fan of the double letters.
Yeah, the alliteration. Mm-hmm. Like Catherine Katz Kendall.
Yes, Catherine Katz Kendall.
Catherine Katz Kendall.
Our favorite. So what does Adelaide Amore do for a living?
Oh, man. She is a dog walker.
Ooh.
Wait, no. Because this is a cozy cat mystery, she can't be a dog walker.
That's true. Although she would be an animal lover of all stripes. She would
be. Is she a vet tech?
Oh.
Like Savannah?
Very true. We've had vet techs in the past.
Yeah. Or,
quilt designer.
Ooh. Or she's a vendor at the local farmer's market.
I love that. Yes.
Wait. She makes candles. She's a candle maker.
Bespoke candle maker.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. I love it.
Adelaide Amore, the bespoke candle maker.
Perfect.
Obviously, it's a cozy cat mystery. We have to have a cat.
She needs a cat, for sure.
Yeah, what kind of cat breed?
Well, we've seen our share of purebred cats, like Siamese and Maine Coons. We've had a few ginger flabby tabbies, which, of course, I am partial to. I think she should have a tuxedo cat. But what's the cat's name?
Oh, a cat name. We've had a range of cat names, right? Like, we've had Max and Scout.
Mm-hmm. Marshmallow. Peanut butter. What about Noodle?
Noodle the tuxedo cat.
Maybe Noodle is not dignified enough for a tuxedo cat.
Yeah, like Jefferson.
I like it. Jefferson.
Yeah. Jefferson the tuxedo cat.
He sounds like a little gentleman, and I like it.
Cute. What kind of sound does he make? You know, Jefferson is talkative.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to love Adelaide, so
true.
We need a cat sound. Go ahead and write that down.
Okay, I'll write that down.
Rung. I'm pretty sure Charlie made that sound this morning.
Was it a good sound or like bad that sound?
I think it was a, you're getting out of bed sound.
What are you doing? I'm comfy.
Okay, so Adelaide Amore, the candle maker, her cat, Jefferson.
Yes.
So she lives in a small town.
Yep.
Our cozy town is generally like small town America or Canada.
Or Canada occasionally.
Small town Canada.
I feel like we've had a few coastal towns with that added cozy element of lighthouses and beaches.
I feel like it's either near a body of water or it's in the Midwest.
There's really no in between. We certainly haven't had a cozy mystery in a city.
Yeah, there's no like, ooh, cozy suburbs.
I like the idea of a cozy town near a body of water.
Yeah. So we need a name for this cozy town.
Maybe it's a point of some sort.
Ooh, like Lighthouse Point.
Yeah.
Or
like Horseshoe Crab Bay.
Or Rocky Coast Channel.
Ooh.
Seashore. God, what's a Hamlet.
Hamlet. Oh, Hamlet's a good.
Oh. Should we find something for Hamlet?
I think something for Hamlet.
Okay. Horseshoe Hamlet.
Horseshoe Hamlet. Yeah. I love it.
That's right.
Now, all of these cozy towns have a main street. That's pretty crucial to their city planning, I guess you'd call it. But typically, they're known for something outside of that, be it Victorian houses or waterfalls.
Antique stores.
Antique stores. A castle. So if there's an event or something that Horseshoe Hamlet is known for, what would it be?
Is it like an apple pie contest? Because that's pretty freaking cozy.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything cozier than an apple pie contest. That's very cozy.
Like a national apple pie contest.
Yeah.
So you have all these like out of town busybodies coming in.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that national puts a lot of chaos into our cozy town.
I like it. Yeah. It sets some stakes. There's bound to be drama whenever there's a competitive event.
Exactly. Okay. So we have our protagonist, her cat, small town. Mm-hmm. But no small town is complete without a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah. Truly. Eccentric residents are really a crucial ingredient to making a good cozy mystery. And I feel like typically they're either friends of the protagonist, her relatives, just quirky locals.
Right.
That everyone seems to know about.
Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, we need the one quirky character that is just a little out of left field, right?
Yeah. Let's start with a name and then maybe grab their occupation.
Okay.
And fit that into Horseshoe Hamlet.
Personally, I'm really fond of, like, the charming senior citizen.
Yes.
Or the sassy best friend.
Mm, I tend to like charming senior.
Okay. What about, like, Marple Thurston?
Ooh, I love it. Marble. I'm writing that down.
All right.
Thurston.
She's the local librarian.
That makes sense. She would be a librarian.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power in Cozy Cat Mysteries.
That's right.
So we frequently see librarians either as the protagonist themselves or as one of her close confidants.
Right. So we have Marple Thurston. We need a quirky character who is like a family member that's in a position of authority, because that's a common thing we see. Someone's the mayor or the chief of police or... I don't know, the only lawyer in town, right?
Yeah. Typically, we've got someone who our protagonist has a connection to that she tends to get some insider information about the crime from this person. I think that this should be a hard-nosed, take-no-BS aunt.
Yes. What is her role in town?
Maybe she is... I mean, I certainly like the idea of her being the mayor and just running the place.
Yes!
I love it.
I love it.
Aunt Mayor? I guess she still needs a name.
Yeah. Okay, the hard-nosed aunt is named, like maybe Mimi?
Ooh.
Or,
I was thinking Melba.
Melba!
Aunt Melba. The mayor.
I like it. I love that we have a lady mayor.
Yeah.
Just because, unfortunately, in a great deal of the Cozy Cat Mysteries we've read, there are some issues with girl power.
Shockingly, in The Cats That Surf the Web, at least the lead investigator on the murder case was named Linda, and she was the only character in a book to have a laptop.
I guess there's that.
We also, you know, back in Perfect Murder, I believe it was her uncle that was the chief of police and was also just like, oh, you want to go to a crime scene? Let me give you the keys, honey.
I think the one thing I took away from Perfect Murder was like, professionalism doesn't matter.
No.
If you want to investigate an open crime scene, go for it.
Yeah, go on ahead.
More power to you.
That was our second episode, but I still remember that book clearly because it was wild.
Vividly.
Yes.
That scene where she's on the roof of the house where the murder takes place and she's like, oh, I just want to see inside. I want to see if I could get a picture for a story.
And nearly falls off the roof to her death.
Yeah. And then later, her uncle, the chief of police, is like, well, you could have just asked for the keys, dear, if you wanted to go. Yeah,
right into the crime scene.
Yeah. Oh, here, take this laptop. That's the key piece of evidence in this murder case.
Take a look. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's fine.
Let's see. I would say the third key resident in this small town ends up being the love interest.
That's right. Sometimes he's a cop. He's usually also from out of town.
Sometimes he's a cop from out of town that was in a cult.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be surprised how often that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
We need a love interest name.
We do.
So, what do you think?
Something that immediately makes you think, that guy has a cool mustache.
Ooh. So, I would assume that Tom Selleck is already taken.
I know. Dom Bellick.
Well, I mean, we did read that one book that had... Who's the actor in it? And we were like, that's a real person.
Oh,
Danny Glover.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
You do know that's a person already.
Officer Dan Glover. And then we read in The Cat Who Could Read Backwards, the one reviewer was like, I pictured the main character, Jim, as looking like Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
With his wonderful mustache.
Yeah. No joke. That's exactly what I pictured as well.
I did too.
Bert's a good name.
Bert is a good name.
Bert Schmidl. Is that what we're going for?
We're writing Bert Schmidl. I was feeling Schmidl is spelled S-H-M-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S.
As it should be.
Schmidl.
Perfect. So Bert Schmidl is the newly established Blankentown.
He's here for a reason.
What's he do?
I mean, sometimes these guys come into town and they're detectives or cops or journalists.
Yeah.
Rarely does the love interest have a cozy profession, but...
That's right. He's usually into something something less cozy.
Let's switch it up. Let's make Birch Reynolds equally tenderhearted and as cozy as our protagonist.
Oh my god. Okay. Oh, he's, she's a candle maker. Mm-hmm. He is he an electrician?
Ooh.
I mean, that's not cozy, but it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. That also makes sense because generally when the protagonist and the love interest meet, it's more of an oil and water relationship.
Right.
Like an opposites attract.
They usually don't like each other.
True.
That totally gives me an idea for our story. Can we make him an electrician?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. He's an electrician, which, you know, as an independent bespoke candle maker.
I mean, I can't see them getting along.
That's true. She probably doesn't see the
appeal in candles.
No.
He's like, just turn a light on.
Right. And she's like, but candles are so soft.
And they romantic. Really set the mood.
They smell good.
He's like,
these are a fire hazard. Just use electricity. It comes with your house.
Okay, so a crime most foul.
A crime most foul. Now, in most of the books we've read, this has been murder.
Right.
Pretty much across the board.
Yeah. I think it's always murder.
I don't think we've read one yet that...
The crime is like, oh, fraud.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. What if someone was electrocuted?
Oh, perfect. I love it.
Right? And so who would be electrocuted and how would they know it's murder instead of someone being dumb, licking a light bulb?
Yeah, or sticking a fork in a toaster. Right.
Okay, so wait, we have the National Apple Pie Bake Off.
Yep.
Maybe it's the former grand champion of the Apple Pie Bake Off.
Yes.
And she is electrocuted when... what could go wrong in the kitchen?
Everything.
Everything. Like her...
She's electrocuted when she plugs her KitchenAid in.
Yes.
But was it really just a malfunction?
Right.
Or something else?
Ooh, and then a wacky resolution.
Yes. With most cozies we've read, the mystery is solved within the last 15 pages. And 9 times out of 10... It's not a character that we've ever met before.
Or if we did, they were, like, a very, very peripheral character.
Yes.
And they didn't have any influence on the plot until this very moment.
Yeah, it's a very convenient, like, but you know who was there? You know who is related to the murder victim?
Dun, dun, dun.
So-and-so.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, from what we've read so far, there's really not many instances where you can guess the murderer beforehand.
Right.
Or the reasons why they would murder. Like, the motivation is pretty murky.
Very murky.
All right. Who killed the former grand champion of the National Apple Pie Bake Off?
I mean, it clearly would seem as though it was another apple pie baker, but that would be too obvious.
Too obvious. It could seem like it was Birch Reynolds,
yes.
The only electrician in town who would know how to do that.
True.
But
it's not.
It's not. It's...
Her jealous twin trying to take her place.
Yes! Who's mad because she used the family recipe.
Yes.
That apple pie trophy was supposed to be hers.
Right? That is a good... half-baked murder motivation, if I've ever
right?
heard one.
So I feel like the only thing we're missing is a couple crazy theories, but maybe we pull those out of our magic box that
yes.
we have with our extra options in case we couldn't come up with anything.
Yes, we have a couple things on deck, so I think we'll pull the crazy theories out from there.
Right, but give us a sec, and we're going to fill in our thing and read you the cozy mystery that we just created.
Pretend you're listening to a Blue Apron ad.
Blue Apron's the best. Okay.
We're back.
We have most of our Mad Libs filled out.
Yes.
In the spirit of excitement, we forgot a couple things to discuss, but we're going to do it in the moment as we read them.
We're on the fly, just right off the cuff.
Traditional Mad Lib style.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to read the opening page of, oh my god, what is it called?
Oh no.
We need a book title.
It has to be something with a baking pun.
Oh.
Or a cat pun.
Let's see. It's Apple Pie to Die For.
Yes, I like it.
Okay, this is the opening page of Apple Pie to Die For. Adelaide Amore woke up with the sun shining through her windows. Her tuxedo cat, Jefferson, hopped up onto her pillow to wish her a good morning, just as he always did. Meow, meow, he said, pawing at her delicately yet insistently. Okay, okay, she said, petting Jefferson and getting up from her cozy nest of blankets. Adelaide wasn't looking forward to today. As a bespoke candle maker, she was partially responsible for putting on the National Apple Pie Bake Off in Horseshoe Hamlet. Why? We don't know, and it doesn't matter.
She's just a pillar of Horseshoe Hamlet, and we need to accept that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, she's just really involved in the community.
Yes.
And, you know.
Only 60 people live in the town, so.
Everyone has to pitch in for this.
Yes.
National Apple Pie Bake Off.
And she's busy making her candles.
That's
so.
Right. Okay. Normally, that was a piece of cake for Adelaide. But ever since the former grand champion of the National Apple Pie Bake Off was electrocuted in her kitchen when she plugged her KitchenAid in, the entire town of Horseshoe Hamlet had been on edge. Adelaide had some theories on who'd done it, but so did everyone else. Marple Thurston, the town librarian, thought that, crazy theory number one, right. What is it?
The neighboring town is behind it, those jealous louts.
Marple Thurston, the town librarian, thought the neighboring town was in on it, those
jealous louts.
Yeah. While Aunt Melba, the mayor of Horseshoe Hamlet, thought that, crazy theory number two,
it was bad luck because the town was built on an ancient burial ground.
Well, Aunt Melba, the okay, straight face. While Aunt Melba, the mayor of Horseshoe Hamlet, thought that it was bad luck because the town was built on an ancient burial ground. But that wasn't public knowledge. Dang! That is really quite well. The dark secret. Alright. Alright, we're getting there. If only Adelaide could finally talk to... I can get through this sentence. Okay. Okay. If only Adelaide could finally talk to Bert Schmenolds, the newly established electrician in town, he might know. We've got to figure out who electrocuted the former grand champion of the National Apple Pie Bake Off before it tears our town apart, she said to Jefferson, shaking her head. He said, whiskers quivering.
Wow.
And that's the first page of Apple Pie to Die For.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
I love it.
So a lot of stuff obviously happens in between.
Yep.
We know that Adelaide Amore is totally going to fall for Bert Schmenolds.
Although they don't like each other at first, by the end, they've fallen in love.
Right.
We should have mentioned with Bert Schmenolds beforehand, all of our cozy mystery protagonists have a defining manly feature. Yes. Whether it's rock hard biceps or a lush mustache.
Yeah.
Or a chin carved out of granite.
That's right.
So what is Bert Schmenolds known for?
Is it like eyes or lips?
I mean, his namesake has a mustache. Maybe he's got some eyebrows.
That's what I was thinking. Eyebrows.
Perfect.
But they have to be like bushy eyebrows.
Oh, of yeah. course.
Or is there, like, a word that's better than that? Like, his luscious eyebrows?
It's going to be luscious eyebrows.
Okay. And we need an action verb, right?
Yep.
Okay. So his luscious eyebrows, did they wiggle?
I think they wiggled. Or maybe they waggled.
Oh, waggled. That's yeah.
Really. Sunshine, can you give me a blunt object?
I like where this is going. A wrought iron planter.
Perfect. I need one more name for our villain.
Oh, a villain name.
Yes.
Okay, and it's a lady we know.
Yes.
The twin to our national grand champion.
Who is currently deceased.
Yeah. Electrocuted AF. Okay. Is it Natasha?
Ooh.
Or,
sounds very Russian.
Yeah. That's true. Marsha.
It's Marsha.
It's Marsha?
Yep. Oh, another thing I wanted to ask you. What do candle makers use at their job?
Candelabra. Big old candelabra. I don't know if they use that, but I'm sure they have one.
Our bespoke candle maker, Adelaide, has a couple of candelabras. All right, a couple things here. And we've got the last page. Marsha, it was you all along? But why? Adelaide couldn't believe her eyes. Marsha laughed maniacally. I had to get revenge on my twin for stealing the family recipe and my crown. And I'll get away with it, too. She began to advance on Adelaide menacingly. Adelaide looked all around the bake-off tent, but there was nowhere to run. She wished she had her candelabra to defend herself. Adelaide never thought it would end this way. All of a sudden, there was a great commotion from above. Jefferson shrieked as he took a flying leap and landed right on Marsha's head. Adelaide joined the fray and used a wrought iron planter to knock Marsha out cold.
I mean, it works.
Just then, the door to the bake-off tent burst open, and Bert Schmenolds, Marple Thurston, and Aunt Melba ran in. Adelaide, are you all right? Asked Bert Schmenolds.
My favorite name ever.
His luscious eyebrows waggled. I'm much better now, Adelaide said. And Jefferson here saved my life. I can't believe Marsha was behind the murder, Marple Thurston exclaimed. Yes, can you believe it's all because of her twin using the family pie recipe? Adelaide shook her head incredulously. Well, she won't be murdering anymore, said Aunt Melba, clamping handcuffs on Marsha. Case closed. She's the mayor. She knows the town is built on a burial ground. Aunt Melba needs to sleep with one eye open.
Yeah.
She's under a lot of pressure.
I feel like I want to personally read a Cozy Cat mystery starring Aunt Melba.
Also, maybe Horseshoe Hamlet is under martial law. We don't know.
That's true.
It could be.
I mean, the former grand champion of the National Apple Pie Bake Off was electrocuted.
Yes. And Aunt Melba is a suspicious woman, so that's she right. might have just declared martial law.
She's like,
I'm Judge, Jury, and Executioner.
There's a curfew.
Yeah.
Everyone indoors.
Our town's haunted.
Do as I say.
Yeah. So, kittens, that was our Cozy Cat Mystery Mad Lib, but we would love to hear yours.
Yes. Share them with us.
They're posted on Facebook if you want to grab those and let us know what you come up with.
Yeah.
We'd be more than happy to read some on our upcoming episodes.
Oh my God, yes. Yes, we would.
Let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Find us on Facebook, as we said, Instagram. Mm-hmm.
We're
everywhere.
At Perder, She Wrote, all over that worldwide.
Twitter.
Web. Oh,
that's the other one.
Yes, that too.
So we love you, yep. Kittens.
And we will see you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye.